On today's episode of the Dolphin Collective, the training camp schedule has officially come out. We're going to talk about that and a little bit more about the team, getting you guys ready for some Miami Dolphins football. What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another collective. This one, we have a lot of things to talk about. We usually do. And then we kind of venture off and talk about other things. But we're going to try. We're going to try to stick to this over here. We'll see if that happens. But first, let's shout out today's sponsors. Starting with Prize Picks. You play $5, you get 50 instantly in your lineup using that promo code HMA. And TD's got some stuff on there. There we go.
Yeah, man, I've been doing pretty good cleaning up on Prize Picks. You know, I'm not this big better. You know, I just, you know, play $5 here, $10 there, make little safe bets. But I've been doing pretty well. You know, I've been sticking on the baseball. James Wood, I got him over 6 in fantasy points. He always get like 20+, which is crazy. Lane Thomas, Pete Crow, Brian Reynolds. I got these guys in my lineup right now, man, and I think they're going to hit for me. But let me – I want to give a little testimonial. Shout out to Prize Picks, because you can actually follow me and follow my picks on Prize Picks. And for the first time, I actually tried it. I tailed somebody's picks on Prize Picks. I said, you know, let me put some money on the bet that they made. And I hit that night. It actually shocked me. I got a notification. You just won. So I went in. So that's pretty dope. You can see what other people are doing and see if, hey, I like their ticket. I'm going to get on that. But again, I do it. I have a lot of fun doing it. And we want you all to have fun doing it as well. That's why we urge everybody to make sure that they play responsible. Make sure that you're responsible when you play, because at the end of the day, we want to make sure that you're having fun. All right. Not making it an enemy or anything of yourself. So, y'all go check out Prize Picks, man. Use code HMA, play $5, get $50 in lineups, and enjoy and have a good time.
Yeah, they also have team picks, and I jumped on there, and I already put mine in for the Dolphins wins, and I put some money on them getting 4+ wins, man. Oh, I think they're going to have more than 4 wins. So
easy money.
I jumped on that. We also have the other sponsor, the one that we all been using, and that is SeatGeek. Shout out to today's sponsor, and that is SeatGeek. Love, love, love using this app. They have 35 million downloads, making SeatGeek the number one rated ticket app. They are more than 70,000 events listed. 70,000. And it ain't just sports. They have concerts, festival, and more. Super fun and easy to use. Use that promo code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of SeatGeek tickets. That is 10% off any tickets with that promo code COLLECTIVE10. Go use the app, again, linked below. Get yourself 10% off your next set of tickets, regardless of where you're going. And again, shout out to SeatGeek for sponsoring this video. Alan, you were telling us that you got a nice little testimonial.
I was. I don't do promos as well as you or TD do, but I'm going to give it a shot here. My wife used SeatGeek to get some concert tickets for a band called Tame Impala for my daughter's birthday this week. And the words that she used to describe the experience of using SeatGeek was easy peasy. So that was a snap. So nice, guys, too. If you need tickets, there you go.
10% on us, man.
Easy peasy.
Collective 10.
Easy peasy. That's how opponents are going to describe the Dolphins in 2026.
Man. Oh, are you so negative these days? Man.
Let's get into this training camp schedule. And I'm going to pop it up on the screen. Hopefully it works. Doesn't seem like it's working. So never works for me. Never works for me. So we'll run down it real quick. So the rookies, there we go.
Damn, look at you.
Wait, dude.
And there it goes.
Wait.
My bad, Doug.
Sunday, August 2nd is the first one.
TD, do it again.
I got you. Well, I'll try to have you.
There we go. Leave it.
It looks horrible, but whatever. So, yeah, we are – So we have the rookies coming the 21st of this month. We have the vets the 28th of this month. And then you guys, all the fans, will be able to see it on the 2nd, the 3rd, the 4th. They get a break on the 5th and the 6th, 7th, and 8th. So that first week, give or take, they are 6 out of 7 days. They're really going hog wild. Then you got the 10th. Then there's a joint practice on the 12th with Washington. Then you got the game on the 14th with Washington. Then the 18th, the 20th, and then the 22nd is the Giants preseason game, which will be nationally televised on the NFL Network. Found that out recently. And then no training camp, open to the public. And then the Falcons preseason game on the 28th at 7 p.m. Now, I have a question.
Did you mention that the joint practice at home is the 20th?
Well, I didn't mention the 20th, but I didn't say it was a joint practice.
Yeah, it's a joint practice with the Giants.
How do I? Wait, I got it. We're back. Okay. So my question to the beat writers.
Hold on. One factor that wasn't mentioned. Every practice will begin at 9:30 a.m. The practice is open to the public, except the one at Hard Rock Stadium on the second Saturday. That's at 10 a.m. That's on the 8th.
And there's one practice that's open to only season ticket holders.
I think that's correct. The 18th.
If
there's the 18th.
So my question to you gentlemen is, there's a big section of not open to the public. Now, it's open to you guys, though, right? It's just...
Maybe.
Maybe not.
They got to open up locker room rules.
Because from the Giants preseason game to the Falcons preseason game, there is none open to the public. But I'm assuming they will be having training camp. It's just not open to the public, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
You are correct, sir.
I think they'll only have like 3 days of practice. And knowing this 24th will be special teams, that'll be the last dry run. So they'll probably play the twos against, depends on how they operate the final preseason game. But usually final week of training camp, they're trying to determine what roster, who's going to make the roster. So they're playing like twos versus twos, threes versus threes. And then the starters pretty much might get limited work in the game, or that might be their dry run audition. Their dry run for the regular season.
Gotcha. So just
operates. I haven't seen around the league, but I think I saw somewhere where the Jets are opening one practice to the
public. Yeah.
Well, they're a bad team, but yeah, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
I remember days where we used to have like 13 open practices.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, for the Jets, it's one open to the public, and all the other ones you have to be a season ticket holder, which is crazy.
They can't get no sponsors. That's all.
Way to build goodwill with your fan base.
Yeah, seriously.
Especially in a market where you're competing with like six other pro teams for the dollar or the interest, the front page, you know, a sports. Yeah, whatever. I don't see any harm in rewarding or benefiting people who are season ticket holders, especially when you have a poor season like the Jets did. You got to create some sort of enticement for these people to be fans. And like, it's not like Geno Smith selling me tickets.
No, sorry.
Come on, let's be real. Dolphin fans didn't even want Geno Smith. They were just like, Geno who?
He's a journeyman. That's
kind of... Yeah. Good seasons. If, and I'm going to say this, and TD's going to get all on his feelings, but if Malik Willis plays like Geno Smith of 2024, Dolphin fans would be pretty happy.
Don't disrespect Malik like that. That's his floor moving forward.
No, he had a good season in that year.
Yeah, it was good, but that's Malik's floor moving forward.
How are you sure? How do you know that?
How are you sure it's not?
I
Omar, you used to be so positive, man. You know, it was just
that
like
not my, that is not my reputation in this
like
world.
The last 6 years, Omar, like the faith you've had in certain now everything is doom and gloom. Like, man, nothing gonna make you happy unless we trade with the Atlanta Falcons tomorrow.
You know what the difference was?
No, don't do it.
Some efficient practices, some efficient offense. Third down execution, red zone day. We get like 8 touchdowns. That was
what about two-minute drills? What about two-minute drills?
He'd operate well in two-minute drills generally. And
you're talking about a specific person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh? We out here talking about practice. Practice, not a game.
Yeah. I mean, then we get to games and we do like Carolina, and y'all overlook the fact that, you know, he threw that touchdown.
Don't go there. They had the ball last in Carolina and then went 3-and-out.
Buffalo.
Three and out, and didn't Jonah like Olay a sack or something like that?
Doug, don't bring up Buffalo.
Why are we talking about the quarterback who's no longer there?
Eating up $179 million in cap space, as you guys consistently say, and as TD likes to say, we will stop talking about him when he stops eating up cap space.
Bingo. 2028.
With the NFL and ESPN's merger, NFL Network will have 19 live games, and the ESPN app will have an additional 12 live games, and that is why you'll be able to watch the Giants take on Miami in Miami, 4:00 on Saturday the 22nd on NFL Network, which I didn't think.
And I'm sorry, but playing 4 p.m. on August 22nd in Miami. Sorry, your colleague Omar suggested it was an idea of getting a head start on the following week. Like 3 hours is really getting a head start. Come on now. Come on. That should be a 7 p.m. game. I mean, but whatever.
I mean, they got to put something on TV.
That is true.
Giants and Dolphins preseason game. Sure.
You act like that's not going to do ridiculous ratings.
Jackson Dart versus Malik Willis.
Yeah, I bet you a Marlins game, and they're one of the hottest teams.
Hey, we got us a preseason primetime. How about that?
It's not primetime. It's 4 p.m.
Hey, that's better than you.
It's nationally televised.
Hey, it's nationally televised.
Hey, yeah, that prime time is national, baby. We moving up.
It'll be the first opportunity people get to see nationally. See, I promise you the starter's going to play that game. I promise
you
that.
But here's the thing also, guys, if you don't recall, though, the other games will be televised on NFL Network on a tape delayed basis.
Yeah, later.
They scatter them all over.
At 3 a.m. You'll get to watch.
So our other two games, the Atlanta game?
Yes.
Atlanta, Washington, yeah. Washington.
Yeah, don't you watch NFL Network and watch all? I love watching those games. I remember.
Won't it still be on local broadcast?
Yeah. If you're in Washington or Miami, you could watch the first one, and if you're in Atlanta or Miami, you can watch the second one.
Yeah.
I remember watching. I think I was in Chicago, and I was trapped in my hotel. I think we were waiting for like a Dolphins game, and then Shador Sanders was starting like the first game for Cleveland out of like nowhere, and he balled. And then I was glued to that TV.
Future Hall of Famer.
Skyler balled against the Eagles, right?
You talking about Skyler in Miami?
Yeah, Skylar Thompson. Didn't he ball against the Eagles?
He won Tampa Bay.
It was Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Him and Eric Uzukama.
Yeah.
And the tight end that I liked that could never take off. Who's
Tanner Connor.
Tanner Connor, who's with the Giants.
Tanner Connor, and we were like this.
I did like Tanner Connor. Tanner Connor's, you know, then I saw Greg Dulcich.
And I kept trying to tell you.
It's so much better now, Omar. You got it down.
I know. It's sometimes it's just a mental thing. Sometimes,
right? You got to say it a lot.
Dulcich might get 1,000 yards this year.
I think he's going to get north of 400. I do think he'll get north of 400.
He's gonna be the number one or number two target for Malik Willis. No question.
I agree.
Question. Now that we're down to three preseason games, back in the day when we had four, third was the dress rehearsal. Is the second game going to be the dress rehearsal, being that we're down to three games?
That's a Poupard question, because he probably has documented it for the last 15 years.
Doug, way back in the day, there were six
preseason games. Jeez Louise.
In fact, there was 1 year the Dolphins, the NFL used to do the Super Bowl champion against college all-stars. There was 1 year the Dolphins had seven preseason games.
You educate me.
What year is this? What era is this?
73 or something.
1912. Wow.
College all-stars playing NFL players? That's ridiculous.
Wow. I've never heard of that.
They should pick the worst team, so like the Raiders or the Dolphins, and have them face the best college team in preseason. That would be interesting.
No, the NFL would never.
What happens when the Alabama or the Miami beats an NFL team?
Then, they automatically get the first overall pick.
Yeah, you guys, I don't think the world realizes at this very moment, college and NFL are direct competitors.
Yeah.
And they're competing for television networks, television ratings, talent base. They're literally like in the SEC. I think the minimum NIL deal is like $780,000. A rookie gets what, $880? Mm-hmm. Like,
wow.
You know, a rookie salary is $880 out of the base salary outside of the signing bonus. So they're competing for same talent, I haven't kept track of like all the second round picks now should be, their contract should be fully guaranteed, but the agents should be moving to the third round pick where, first 10 picks in the third round are fully guaranteed. And they might spread it out
every 2 years, you know, give it some time for the owners to get over the first hump. But I'll say this. I don't think a college team will ever be any NFL team though.
Oh, please. I covered both the University of Miami. No, I can't say that. The University of Miami team that I covered in 2000, 2001, they would have beat the snot out of the Dolphins team.
With NFL rules? No. Like maybe with all that
What's the difference in the NFL rules, though?
1 foot in.
PI. You're talking about.
That Canes team, they didn't need 2 feet. I mean, they didn't need 1 foot. Andre Johnson. Come on.
Dorsey couldn't buy a cup of coffee in the NFL. That's your starting.
Ken Dorsey lasted like 8 years in the NFL. Don't be disrespectful. Then he became an offensive.
What kind of quarterback was he in the NFL?
He was a career backup. He didn't have the arm for the NFL.
He threw 15 passes in the NFL.
There was a point when the University of Miami secondary was better than the Dolphins secondary, back when Travis Daniel and Jason Allen were the starters. Don't do that, because it's
that's fair.
Four years. Jim Dorsey was only
He was in the league longer than 4 years.
Played for four different seasons, so 408 passes in those.
Unless these are the only games he played.
Yeah, those probably might be the only games he played, but I'm sure
he was rating a 55 point.
Remember, he was in the league since 2001, and what was his last season?
2004 was the first time he played. His last season was 2008 with Cleveland.
Yeah,
record as a starter 2-11. Yeah. Which we
yeah, he was in, he was in the league for like 7-8 years. He just
I think you're Omar, and I'm a UM guy as well, and I covered. In the mid-80s, the UM teams that were complete, the 86 team that lost to Penn State in the Fiesta Bowl was completely ridiculous and had the Heisman winner at quarterback with Vinny Testaverde. It's still not the same game. And you can pinpoint, you can go ahead and look at the secondary grade. Andre Johnson was obviously a complete stud. But the
Santana
nuts and
Moss, goals, Reggie Wayne.
That's fine. What about the offensive line?
Okay, yeah, Romberg was there. We got
– what kind of NFL career did Brett Romberg have? As great as a college center as he was.
Okay, he was a career backup. But then you had Vernon Carey was on that championship team. You had, I mean, come on, look at the backfield. Frank Gore was the number four running back.
Again, all you keep talking about is skill position play.
I think where they get mopped in the versus NFL teams are the trenches on both sides. That's where they'll get mopped.
Was a backup.
Because even a number one overall pick, even an old lineman coming number one overall is still as green coming in the NFL.
Mm. Eric what Winston. They should do.
Eric Winston was on the offensive line. At the end of the season,
when you have two teams vying for that number one overall pick, those two teams should face the two teams in the national championship, and whoever loses gets the first overall pick.
What would be the incentive to winning?
to show that you're not going to get fired as a head coach.
No, what needs to happen is every 5 years, it just rolls and it says who had the biggest losing record and ended in the bottom five, and that team has to play the college team. You lose, you got to set a team.
That'd be interesting. Anyway,
I want a lottery.
Let's see if my graphic will pop up. I doubt it. But we're going to look at 2019 versus 2026 to see which you
win.
So the way I did this is I went by snap count.
Can we take Prize Picks down?
I don't know.
All right, let's roll. So you did it by snap count. So the most.
I did. Who had the most snap counts when it came to the skill position? So obviously we'll start on
the Lodge.
Yep. Yeah, he had the most snap counts. I'll pull it up for you.
No.
That's a year average, like 1.8 yards or something like that. It was insane.
Oh my God! Yeah.
And he was very combative in his interviews. Like, oh, I don't got to prove nothing. No, what are you looking at me for?
Patrick Laird had 292 snaps, and Kalen Blodge had 256 snaps.
Holy God!
So that
What about Mark Walton? There was Walton, and then
Mark Walton was off the team after like 4 weeks.
Yeah, he had 200 snaps.
You remember who was the rushing leader for the Dolphins in 2019, right?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Man, we a better team now.
So looking at that, you got Fitzpatrick versus Malik Willis, Kalen Blodge, Chain, Devontae Parker, Preston Williams.
Williams played like five games too.
This is just my like estimated.
This is interesting.
Starters: Jalen Tolbert, Malik Washington. You got Kazicki versus Dulcich, and then that offensive line. So looking at the two.
Wow. Look at that O-line.
On offense, obviously 2026 is better. Like,
yep.
With Malik Willis. Like, don't even look at receivers. Malik Willis, Devon Achan, and the offensive line.
I mean, we can't even say don't even look at receivers because you've got to look at receivers. And, you know, Preston Williams, people could say Preston Williams, Jalen Tolbert's a wash, and I disagree with you because Preston Williams looked like a monster in camp. All these receivers wish they looked like Preston Williams. Duh, bro.
Yeah, but this isn't camp. This is the regular season. What did he look like in the regular season?
He looked like a young green player that didn't get his bearings and catch up to the speed of the game.
You know how the myth of Preston Williams started? And Preston Williams had that potential.
It was not a myth. Don't lie.
Xavien Howard, when asked about Preston Williams, and Xavien Howard, as teammates often do with their players on the same team, said something like, he could be in the Pro Bowl 1 year. And all of a sudden, boom, the media was like,
was he not balling all camp? He was not balling all camp. He had overtaken Devontae Parker as the top target in training camp. He was absolutely balling. Do not tell that lie. He was an undrafted rookie who went from third team to starter in like 10 days.
You know why he was an undrafted rookie free agent. And you also know that X was covering Devontae Parker the entire training camp and had him in a vice to where Parker didn't know which way was up.
That is correct. That is fair and correct, accurate recollection of history. But Preston was bawling. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick had no favoritism to anybody, and he was just throwing the ball to the open receiver. And Preston Williams was open. Now, was he covered by anybody? Probably not. But he was killing it. He earned that starting spot. It wasn't given to him.
It was intriguing. Preston did give us hope.
Go ahead.
And to look at other guys,
Say Gesicki and Dulcich is a wash because Gesicki sucked. I will go to my grave.
He was a good
receiver. He was the best weapon we had on the team at the time.
He was a good receiver. Very telegraphing player.
Allen Hurns and Albert Wilson were the other receivers that had at least 40% to 48% of the team snaps.
I mean, I think we all in agreement we would pick 2026 by far, though, right?
Yeah, as a team, 100%. Yeah.
Well, hold on. As an offensive group. And by the way, also, we should mention that at this time, as I wrote on MiamiDolphinsInside.com, at this time in 2019, the Dolphins roster still included Laremy Tunsil and Kenny.
Yes.
True. Mm-hmm. And then they decided they were tanking and got rid of them.
Management
decided that they were tanking.
No, they were already tanking, and then Houston kept calling Chris Greer with a better offer for Tunsil until it was like, okay.
Hey, according to Brian Flores, he wasn't tanking, and he never going to tank.
And then
the NFL is in a pretty nasty lawsuit because of it.
This is the defense. So you got Taco Charlton.
No, Taco Charlton wasn't here till later.
Jesus Christmas.
Okay, that's fine. We'll accept him. We'll accept him.
Charles Harris also was on that team. He was one of the defensive ends.
Yeah, Charles Harris. I think he played more than Avery Moss. I'm not sure, but
let me see.
Oh my gosh. I never looked at it like this, but I would take our defense now too.
Charles Harris had 38% of the snaps.
Avery Harris had what?
Tarkle Charlton had 35, and Taco Charlton had better production, and that's why I put him in.
What about Avery Moss?
Avery Moss had less snaps. He had 348 to Taco Charlton's 361.
Yeah, Charles Harris should be the starter on this unit. Yeah, but anyway, it doesn't matter because they still suck.
You got Devon Gacho, Christian Wilkins.
Point of order. Very important point of order. Again, at this time last year, that Dolphins secondary wasn't Roe Needham, McCain, and Adrian Colbert. It also had Rashad Jones, Xavier Howard, and Minkah Fitzpatrick.
We're looking at the team during the season.
The team at the end of the season, or through the course of the season.
But he makes a valid point.
Going into the season.
I hear both points. I do hear
both points. Going into the season, you still have Rashad Jones and Xavier Howard.
Did
they play a game?
Yes, they did. Rashad played four. Yes, they did.
Barely. And that's why I didn't put them in the chart.
Listen, but Poupard makes a great point. They were there, and then they were like, this team tanking. I don't want to be part of this. I'm out.
So we're looking at the team that played in 2019 versus what we have right now, which is better.
I would say the secondary's a wash. And it's not.
I agree.
It's not Lonnie Johnson.
I agree.
This is just a projection for 2026.
Vince Beagle,
no idea what the secondary is going to look like this year.
Remember this linebacker unit.
Remember when they traded Raekwon McMillan, who Poupard, as point will point out, has since retired from the NFL? Is Jerome Baker still playing?
I don't believe he's signed. Well, Tennessee, maybe? Hold on, let me check.
Right now? Yeah, I think Jerome Baker's still playing.
But I think he was a free agent. I don't know if he signed with anybody. No, he's a free agent. He hasn't signed with anybody.
God, Jerome Baker could help this team.
I'm coming home.
Stop it. Stop it. Zero chance.
You don't like Jerome Baker?
Not compared to
the not signing those kinds of players. And by the way, that was McMillan was traded in 2020. And another point, again, for the sake of being
2020?
In 2020, yeah, for Lynn Bowden Jr., who was a rookie with the Raiders. In fact, Raekwon McMillan started like 12 games in 2019.
Mm-hmm. 515 snaps.
Okay. So I believe he played more than Egwuban. Eric Rowe started the season at cornerback, was sucking so much he got switched to safety.
Well, he was playing in a different position, wasn't he, than Sam McGuavin? Sam McGuavin at left outside linebacker. Again, I did my flip-flopping homework. 620 snaps, which is more, if my calculations are correct, than Raekwon McMillan.
Who was that inside linebacker?
You think I just made this chart with my eyes closed? Do you think I didn't
do it? Doug is being defensive about his chart, which is a very pretty chart.
Leave his chart alone, Alan.
It's inaccurate, but it's pretty.
Oh, man.
Anyway, which defense would you take? Even adding the caveats of different players in different positions, which defense would you take? Yeah.
2026 by far, actually, for me, the secondary is a wash. I agree with Omar. Linebackers by far, I'm on the right side with the linebackers.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
And the trenches, the way I look at it, Zach Sealer came to Miami balling out. He was playing great from the get-go. Christian Wilkins at this point still haven't arrived to what we've been waiting on at that point. Yeah, he wasn't what he ended up being at the time. Devon Godchild was a really good player. I give him a leg up, but Uche I got more hope in than Taco and Chop Robinson, much bigger stock than Avery, but I'm gonna ride with Robinson right now, even though he got a lot to prove.
Charles Harris, and they're basically the same player.
Yeah, so I'm still going with 2026.
Well, Sealer arrived in December. He was claimed off waivers from the Ravens. I mean, sorry if I'm destroying your false facts. My bad. My apologies.
I didn't remember that, though. But
good. Yes.
And he balled against the Cincinnati Bengals. I remember that.
John, he played three games that year.
He ended the season. He
showed up on Wednesday and started on Sunday, which was the theme for that season.
And the reason he's not in the chart is because
his snap count was lower.
There you go. 78.
Because Doug did his homework on this flip-flopping chart.
Thank you. You judge your best.
I like the chart. I like the chart. I appreciate the chart. And the chart is it accurately points out, because people think this team can't win five games. They can win five games.
Easy. Yes.
There you go. Easy.
But on paper, and I know you love this, Omar, but I'm going to go there anyway. On paper, the 2026 schedule is a lot tougher than the 2019 schedule.
Well, we don't know that.
It means nothing.
I said on paper. We do know that on paper based on the records from last season. Yes, we do know that.
They don't have the current papers of this year.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I know, Omar.
All these teams.
Omar, which one do you like more? Strength of schedule or cap or dead cap numbers?
Dead cap.
I'm the strength of schedule guy. He's the dead cat.
I refuse. I refuse to acknowledge either.
Doug, you know what that chart makes me realize, though?
What's up?
Hey, man, Brian Flores was coaching.
Yeah.
Brian Flores was coaching. If you look at that roster, I didn't even realize
And he fired his offensive coordinator at the end of the season.
That's true.
And his defensive coordinator, who was his best friend, flew the coop and left him after 1 year.
And he replaced the O-line coach after like 1 week.
Yes, over Michael Dieter, because the O-line coach told him, Michael Dieter is not good enough to start for us. And he said, you're fired. And we're starting him anyway.
Oh, man. No, that's a bad ticker. Hey, but that team, how many wins did that team have?
Five.
Five and four probably, the last 10 games.
And probably four of them were on Ryan Fitzpatrick's back. Which makes me say, and I hate that people will probably chop this up to death. Yeah, you go.
Go ahead.
Yeah. If Malik Willis can play like Ryan Fitzpatrick, you might have a good season.
Better.
Is that the standard? Is Ryan Fitzpatrick the standard? Is that, are you willing to say he's the standard?
For year one. Yeah, that's fair, Omar. That's fair. That is actually fair.
I'm going to write a column about that
because I think he's going to be. Right. I think, because believe it or not, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick was a quarterback.
Oh yeah.
Like when you know how I always use one scale of 1 to 10. I really feel like Ryan Fitzpatrick is an 8 quarterback. Like literally just. He can do it all. Technically, he can make the throws. He's a gamer. Run. He knows what he's seeing on the field.
He's and tough.
I just feel
what?
Ron, what are you guys watching? I mean, he could scramble out of trouble. Was not a running quarterback.
Not a running quarterback. I know what you mean, though, Alan. Like he falls short 4. Of being great.
5 yards a carry. He not a scrambler. 4.5 yards.
But Malik, in my opinion, is right there from a skill set, and I think he can do a lot of those things slightly better. He can run better. I think he could be a better passer overall. I'm talking in the pocket.
He's a better athlete. He's got a bigger arm. He's faster. But the thing is,
better.
He's correct.
He cannot read the field better, and
And by the end of his career, Ryan.
Standpoint, he's not.
Let me make my point. Ryan Fitzpatrick, by the end of his career, which was, I don't want to say knocked, but became famous for just a number of teams he played. By the end of his career, he'd gotten to be a pretty good quarterback when he was with the Dolphins, and even before that with Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
But my thing is, I don't know if you can use Ryan Fitzpatrick as a standard for Malik Willis because they're so completely different in terms of style.
Are they?
Yes.
Are they really?
Yes.
I don't know. I see a lot of similarities, man.
I would say Malik's more athletic, obviously, and he's going to use that more to his benefit than, you know, you can't really look at Ryan Fitzpatrick in 2019 and say how mobile he was because there was no other option. It was Ryan Fitzpatrick. You need to. How many touchdowns did he have?
Yeah, he had to be rushing?
Four. Four. Yeah. Patrick Laird was second on the team in carries. How did that happen?
I remember Patrick Laird. Man, you're going back.
Miles Gaskin.
Gaskin, Laird, Balazs.
He was the second Miami Dolphin player I got to interview on my channel. Vince Beagle. I think that's it. He was the first guy I got to interview. And then Patrick Laird. And that's when I knew I made it. I didn't make it.
I like Vince Beagle was a good player.
Yeah.
He got traded, I think.
I like him.
They acquired him from the Saints for Kiko Alonso in 2019. There you go.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Kiko.
And then he had popped an Achilles. I think we're in Chicago. We saw him in crutches, in one of those joint practices. It may have been the following year, maybe.
We got Kiko in a trade too, didn't we?
Yeah, with what?
Kiko, we got him in a trade.
They did. You want to know the details of the trade?
It was the cornerback from Philly.
That was overpaid.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember his name. He wasn't good.
Yeah.
Good enough to help the Dolphins make the playoffs in 2016 as a starter. It was Kiko Alonso, Byron Maxwell, and the 13th overall pick for the 8th overall pick. And with that 13th overall pick, the Dolphins selected Laramie Tunsil.
And that was the year that the Dolphins decided they were trying to trade Brent Grimes, and Brent Grimes' wife basically told them, screw you, cut us. And we're not subjecting ourselves to a trade. We're going to the open market. Because they traded him to Arizona. And the Grimes family basically said, we ain't getting traded by nobody. Release us.
We're too good to be traded.
Interesting. Areas of strength and concern. Didn't we talk about this already? A ton of times. every episode, don't we talk about this?
I think it was the three most important.
We can skip and go to the worst case scenario.
Yeah, worst case scenario, I think, is something that, you know, obviously worst case scenario is we don't win a game. But
would that be worst case scenario?
Yeah.
Would that really be the worst case scenario?
For me, that's the worst case scenario. You don't win a game. Heffley shows that he is out of his depth, and Malik Willis is just Tennessee Malik Willis, and Green Bay was an anomaly. That's worst case scenario. Because now you're in a situation where you have a general manager who can you trust he knows how to evaluate talent, being that he went after Malik when Malik isn't good. You have Jeff Heffley, who is a head coach that now you're like, we haven't won a game. Are you kidding me? You couldn't beat the Jets, and we haven't won a game. So now you're going into 2027 like, all right, we got the first overall pick, but how is our future looking with these two gentlemen? So,
but what if the reason you go in 0-17 under your worst case scenario is that, and TD, cover your ears, Malik Willis sustains a season-ending injury in the preseason, and Quinn Ewers shows that he's just only a backup and a mediocre one at that, and that's the reason they go in 0-17. Does that still apply?
If that Brian is the worst Flores case scenario.
If Brian Flores can win five games with that roster, Jeff Heffley has to win five games with this roster, even without Malik Willis, in my opinion, my personal opinion.
See, to me, the worst case scenario deals more with player
being stuck in a limbo where you can't, you won't be justified to go get a top quarterback.
If there's any doubt with Malik Willis, you go top 10 quarterback next year. To me, the worst case scenario is Caden Proctor looks like, well, this guy doesn't belong in the NFL, or it's never going to be anything more than marginal. That would be a worst case scenario.
Well, I'm talking about the injury, though, Alan. Not just him being bad. He doesn't leave you the opportunity to know if he's bad or not.
Okay, well, we could evaluate him next year when he competes with the Manning boy or whoever.
Had the number one overall pick, you would go and take that quarterback to compete.
I'm not a huge Manning fan, but I'm selling hope. You know this.
I'm not mad at it. As long as we get the right one.
Hope peddlers in the NFL.
It's interesting. But I don't think they would do. I don't know. This is a new regime. If it was Chris Greer, he wouldn't do it. He would. Oh no, because he had five times to do that with the last guy.
Chris Greer does not like to own up to his mistakes. He'll try to ride it out one more year.
That's not true.
Hurt again. He'll be all right next year. Hurt again.
Alan, I'm interested because you started your worst case scenario. Continue. What would your worst case scenario be?
That would be the worst case scenario. I think if you get, even if Malik flops, which TD again, cover yours, I hope doesn't happen, then you at least you get some clarity. The worst thing is being stuck between good enough to not make a change, but not good enough to go where you want to go, which is where the
Dolphins have been for the last 25 years.
Pretty much. And the worst case, again, if Caden Proctor completely flops, because that was your first pick, that would be really, really bad. Malik flopping would be bad in the sense that Heffley and Sullivan, I want to say staked their reputation on him, but kind of, sort of, maybe a little bit. They signed him on the basis of seeing him with their own eyeballs for two years. And
he
if
was
they
a better
misfire
option
on them,
than what their alternatives were, which were
no, because another clear alternative would have been go pure bridge and then reassess quarterback and go fishing for a big game quarterback.
Okay, and that choice, that bridge choice is.
It could have been Jimmy G. It could have been Joe Flacco.
Who doesn't say that Malik is the bridge?
You didn't give him a contract.
$2.5 million.
I don't know where I've heard it, and I'm sure I've said this before. I don't know where I've heard it, but they got Malik with the understanding he was better than all the quarterbacks available to us, including the people we could have drafted in the first round of the draft, and we will view him as a rookie, where we're just going to pour two seasons of development into him and see where he is. And just like we would do a rookie, he's not really viewed as an NFL veteran, even though he is an NFL veteran. And we'll see what comes of it. If it doesn't, I mean, The first round pick, Fernando Mendoza, he's making like $46 million over 4 years. So what?
He's not crazy. He hasn't signed yet.
He hasn't. Oh, yeah.
8 draft picks haven't signed, and he's one of them.
He'll get it.
And your dude, TD, your dude also, Ty Simpson, hasn't signed yet.
Hey, you getting his worth.
There you go.
I mean, I know the contract.
I mean, if the standard is Malik Willis versus Ty Simpson, I'm pretty confident Malik Willis would be just fine. And if he's not, who cares? It's 45 mils over 2 years. Steve Ross ain't worried about it. You shouldn't be either.
I'm not worried about it, but to me, it
would Steve Ross is paying two or more to go away.
Yes, but I'm sorry. I refuse to believe this notion that this wasn't the Dolphins taking a shot at a franchise quarterback. Sorry. And the end, kind of Jeff Hafley, if you read between the lines, kind of said so, that it's Malik.
They believe in him, in other words. Yes, they believe he can be the guy. Big time. Oh, man. Oh my. It's my turn to
– Go ahead.
Good.
Worst case scenario is the same worst case scenario 6 years ago, and I told everybody. The one thing no organization wants, because it will waste 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, is to figure out that your quarterback is good enough not to be good enough, which means the Dolphins come out there and they win 9 games this year, and Malik Willis plays above average, not great, but it was solid. HN ran the heck out of the ball, and in everybody's mind, oh, and now we can keep building the roster to build this. This is a good start. And then next year, all of a sudden, we win 11 games. Malik actually is above average. He might even
all of these good. Things sound like wonderful things to me.
Yeah, I know, but this is the problem, and this is why I hate it so much, because it's the most deceiving thing you can have. So Malik wins 11 games. He plays good quarterback play, okay? And this team never can get over a hump. It's the worst case scenario. That's why I want Malik to come in this year and ball out to an extent where you know you got the guy. Not a, oh, this is buildable. Yeah, we need to keep building around this. No, you need to be the guy. Like, man, this guy taking over games. This guy making a difference. I don't care if that comes in 6 wins or 11, but you know clear as day you got your guy for the future, because the things he's doing on the field is special. That's all I want. Outside of that,
When did the Philadelphia Eagles know that Jalen Hurts was their guy, the guy?
They still don't.
It wasn't year two as a star. It was like the year he won a championship. You know,
yeah, okay. But you know what?
I'm not sure the Bills knew that Josh Allen was the guy in year one. They were encouraged by what they saw, but the guy, I don't know about that.
No, for me though, Omar, given the time frame, because I actually agree with everything you're saying. It's like if I drafted Malik Willis number one overall or number top five overall, then you get time to develop. But right now, we don't have time to just sit there and let you just develop. We need to know. We need to – all that work you done put in over the last few years, you got to put it together. You're on the clock now.
Not in one season. I think he's got 34 games to show.
You got to show something, though.
Yeah, but there's a difference. You have moments of – you show real special stuff. It's going to come out.
Define this real special stuff. Define it so I can understand what
it is. You have a moment in a game. You know, remember, like who had two of these moments in his career, Arizona and Baltimore. Two of these moments.
You need two, or you need one of those?
No. In a 17 game season, I need to see it four times.
Four times.
I need to see four like really special moments. Then I know you're special. I know you're special. It's a numbers game for me. All I'm saying is the worst thing you can have is a quarterback that's good enough not to be good enough, because you're going to fire everybody, cut everybody, trade everybody to try to figure it out until you realize, oh, it's this guy. And you still don't even believe it. And you still don't even believe it when you say it's this guy. You know, you just try not to get fired yourself. So you're moving on from it. It's the worst.
It's not that guy. Don't do that. It's not that guy. That guy is going to tear it up in Atlanta. And then you're going to be like, whoa.
I'm going to be honest with you, Omar. I wasn't even trying to reference to him, even though the shoe fit, he wearing it for sure. But that's the worst quarterback you can have. You got to be able to show more consistent moments of greatness in your game while you're figuring it out. That's all I'm saying.
Real quick, did you guys ever see the movie Wanted? It came out in like 2005, 2006 with Morgan Freeman. And at the end of the movie, like everything kind of unravels and he goes on this long speech. And at the end of it, he says, shoot this mother...
I remember. You mean the shot that went like that?
I instantly thought of T.D. Money. This guy.
I remember that part. That was actually a legendary part of that movie.
Shoot this mother. But to Omar's point, it wasn't until like 2020 until they really knew who Josh Allen was. It was like his third year until they really
look at New England.
But are we not going to say that we saw moments? In their game, you see moments. Even Josh Allen's non-great rookie season, you saw moments.
You act like Tua never had moments. Tua had moments.
What moment he had his rookie year?
I ain't talking
about Arizona.
What moment?
TD, let's be fair. Arizona, he looked really, really good.
I forgot he put his shoulder down and survived that one. I remember.
Oh, there was more than just his shoulder. He took sneakers out of Buda Baker.
Thank you. He also had got a couple of nice throws on the run. Give the guy his due.
Well, no. But, come on, man. You know what I mean when I say special, Allen?
Yeah, no, we get you. Yeah, we
understand. I ain't talking about, you're playing well. You're making some passes.
No. Dude, you know me. I'm not as vocal about my Tua descent as you are. But ask Omar. I've been on that train just as long as you have. Okay. Give the man his props. That game against Arizona, which happened to be the second NFL start, he looked damn good. Like, the Dolphins might have something there. Except, I don't. That might have been the best game of his career.
So you're saying you saw Josh Allen special? You saw Lamar special?
Not Mahomes, 6'5" and 2. He liked Josh Allen a lot.
And by the way, Allen, I see what you're saying. Let me clarify though. I mean those moments where your back is against the wall. I'm not talking about you playing well all day. He had that with Detroit. He had that with Chicago. He had that with the Bears. He played very well game. Denver.
I could say I could say if back against the wall with Tua, I would say that Atlanta game where he threw last what? Year? No, 2021 where he threw like what? Two interceptions and then came back at four touchdowns
and they lost.
And they lost because the Dolphin defense couldn't stop Kyle Pitts from two plays getting to field goal range. Do you remember that game?
Is that why they lost or a hole was dug early?
But you just said back, I guess, how are you gonna set the criteria? And I gave you the criteria.
Yeah, you gotta finish. You gotta finish.
There was like a minute left in the game.
His overall game caused him to lose because
Allen,
he dug
back me up on this one. No, did he not just say back against the wall? Okay, down two touchdowns. He then proceeds to have four touchdowns.
Baltimore. One means that he marches him down
the field, gets the game leading touchdown.
With two picks on that too, Omar.
You know why, Omar? Because I could have gotten open against that Baltimore secondary that day. Watch that game again in the highlight. He had the one good throw to Gesicki in the back of the end zone, and then Tyreek and Waddle were open by 5 yards the entire game.
And what about the touchdown to River Craycraft where he extended the play? And what about the touchdown to Jalen Waddle to win the game?
I get Baltimore. I never dispute Baltimore, okay? All right. I thought I had you a quarterback finally.
If you don't think that game, the lot of quarterbacks that game could have racked up 400 yards against that Baltimore defense that day, I'm sorry, you guys are.
I would argue to Atlanta. Atlanta last year, he pretty much saved his career for a good month.
Why? Because he threw 4 3-yard touchdown passes.
Oh my! Don't mention nothing about last year.
He was a wash up until that point. He was having a horrible season, and that jump started gave it a little bit of life.
Did we win that game?
Yep.
Yeah.
It was actually a very decisive win, too. It was a nice little jolt to the system, making us think,
hey, why they brought him in.
They could run. And then they're like, yeah, that might be why they brought him in.
It's these moments.
But then they lost to Baltimore in the Thursday night game and scored 6 points.
And then they fired Chris Kerr. Anyway, let's get to these donations real quick.
Yeah, but remember that game? I think that game. No, was Atlanta? No, it was the Baltimore game where basically everybody was going to be fired. No, which game was it? Everybody was going to be fired.
I think it was Baltimore.
No,
they lost 31-6. Cleveland.
No, it was the week after Cleveland. Everybody.
No, Atlanta was the week after Cleveland.
Yes, everybody was going to be fired in Atlanta week if they didn't show up.
If they lost.
Yes, and Tua showed up. That's a big game.
Mal said, trivia, what year did the Miami Dolphins play the Kansas City Chiefs twice in the regular season? I know this one because I saw the chat and I looked it up. So so I'm not going to say.
No. Let Alan do it.
I'm going to let Alan do it. Alan, what year was it and why did it happen? And
I don't even remember, but fun fact, it was my first year with Dolphin Digest. That was in 1989, and the Dolphins lost both of those games against the Chiefs, 27-24, 26-21. One of those games was the infamous Sammy Sucks game.
This is saying because both teams finished with identical records the year prior, 1988, and placed fifth in their respective divisions, they were scheduled to play each other twice in the 1989 regular season, and you got those scores.
They haven't done that before or since the two teams in the same spot twice. And I don't remember why that was changed that one year.
Eugene said, I would like to thank you guys. Monday I had kidney cancer surgery, and the videos I've been watching have taken my mind off all the pain. We are here for you, bud. Speedy recovery. Hopefully, you know, everything's going great with you, man. That's why we're here. This is why we do this, is to keep you guys entertained.
We're in Siberia right now in terms of the offseason. We got 2 more weeks. I got 2 more weeks of vacation. I swear to God, I feel like I'm about to do a jail bid. yeah. Friday, I'm not going to be here. I'm leaving the country, just so y'all know.
I don't blame you. Dana said, the legend of Ryan Fitzpatrick is insane. Dude was never better than the average starting quarterback. Malik better be better. I disagree with that. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick was above average.
Ryan Fitzpatrick was the second best quarterback that I've seen covering the Dolphins, especially from a leadership standpoint. I put Chad Pennington number one. I put Ryan Fitzpatrick number two, and I put Tua number three. And I put those two above Tua because they both had leadership. They both had presence. They both had the Pied Piper effect. And players followed them. Players played hard for them. Players, their teammates believed in them. Tua, sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't.
Who can name all the teams Ryan Fitzpatrick played for?
Poopar can do that.
The NFL.
Okay, so I got him in front of me, and let's run him down. He played in the whole AFC East minus New England. So Buffalo, Jets, Miami, Tampa Bay, we knew about.
Miami, and somebody else. He didn't play for the Patriots.
No, he didn't play for the Patriots. Started his career with
Tennessee Titans.
St. Louis Rams.
Okay. So we got that. Okay. Then there's 4 other teams. Now, I knew about Houston.
Bengals.
Tampa Bay.
Bengals. We already said Tampa. There's 2 teams that he played for.
Tennessee.
Yep. And?
Well, he finished with Washington, even though he didn't. He played on
those are all.
I had a quick question.
Him and Gus Frerotte. I think Gus Frerotte played with like 1,000 teams as well.
What's his name? Josh Johnson also has played like with
buttons. No, Gus Frerotte didn't play with as many. Gus Frerotte was Washington, Minnesota, Denver, Seattle, Miami, Detroit, Cincinnati.
Josh Johnson, he was on my man crush list whenever he came out into the draft, and that guy has been still a lot in the league. And I would like to say Joshua Dobbs, who I can't believe isn't on an NFL roster, is also a member of my man
crush. Ryan Fitzpatrick played for more teams than Josh Johnson. Josh Johnson's Tampa Bay, Washington, Baltimore, Jets, Cincy, San Fran, Cleveland.
He's been on rosters he hadn't played. So.
Little TV. He's here. He says, dang, Alan, how old are you? Did Jesus sign your yearbook? Maybe he's taking shots at Alan now. If Fanes go 1-4 or 0-5 to start the season, will you still hope for a playoff ass game for a friend, TD?
I'm 64. And will you still feed me? Will you still need me?
They're not making
1-4, 0-5 TD start?
No, we're done. We're dead in the water.
I think that might be the start no matter what you do.
Vegas.
No, just quick question, real quick though. If Ryan Fitzpatrick was the quarterback in 22, 23, and 24, would we have won a playoff game?
22. No, because he's never made the playoffs. Right?
And that team with Tyreek Waddle, Jonnu, and all of them.
He cried in 2020 when he got benched because that was the year he just knew he was gonna.
His gunslinger mentality.
With Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Darren Waller, or Jonnu Smith.
He's had DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans.
With Raheem Mostert and Devin Achane running it like this offense.
TD, ask yourself this question. Of the names that you just raffled off, how many were there at the stretch at the end of the year?
Almost all of those. These were
Waddle didn't play.
What do you mean Waddle didn't play? Waddle was two games.
Waddle was hurt most.
I'm talking about the stretch.
Waddle was there. Waddle was on the field. Tyreek was always on the field.
Waddle had no.
Waddle didn't play a game. Waddle didn't play against the.
But he was on the field. He did play against
Kansas City, but he shouldn't have been on the field.
The tight end was on the field.
He was shot up, man. Don't act like he was. You watching practice?
So is that what we're doing? Jalen Waddle, yes.
He had no business playing that game. He did.
Don't get me wrong, Tua had a big part in this, but when it came down to it with the Ravens Bills game, and we needed to win those games, especially going into the Ravens game where we were fighting for the number one seed. You got to admit, we did not have anywhere near the roster we had week 11.
I'm sorry. Y'all serious. Y'all don't think we would have won one playoff game with Ryan Fitzpatrick with those rosters.
That they weren't healthy at the end of the season every year. It wasn't like.
Even unhealthy would have been a better roster.
Maybe
than
if he
what
played
Ryan
against Buffalo in 2023.
I don't think so. Tampa Bay, he had a good roster.
Huh?
This issue. I was
saying even unhealthy, it was a better roster than. He had some good. He played on some good teams. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He did.
I just think that was one of our biggest mistakes because at any point was Tua playing better than Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yes. In 2023.
When they were no, just when they were together. At any point,
he wasn't ready for it.
No, he should not. I'm on the record for saying, especially in 2020, Tua should have never played 2020.
Whatever switch came around there is probably where we made our biggest mistake. We should have continued to with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yep, through 2020, we probably would have.
But it would have stunted Tua's development, and also Brian needed to realize.
What we know now. Well, we know now it wouldn't have stunted nothing.
Golden Thumb will end with this one. Said Omar went on Joe Rose saying Dolphins get 10. When?
I said it was a possibility.
No,
I
don't
and I listed off more than half a dozen players who needed to have a Patrick Hall-esque season turnaround. And I do believe that. There are from Dante Trader to Juju Brents to Jordan Phillips to Kenneth Grant to Jonas Savanaya to Greg Dulcich to Malik Washington. If all those young players take that Patrick Paul jump, oh, you got a good team.
A lot of ifs.
Percentage
of chance that the Dolphins actually do get the 10 wins. Go ahead.
2.
Because I'll say Dolphins get 12 wins. Go ahead. What percentage of that? 10 wins.
Two times what?
2%. 2%.
If all of them become pro bowlers, I'm going to go beat you and say the Dolphins could be 13-4. 2%, seriously?
10 wins, man. I give it about 70%.
And Malik Washington. I mean, I'm sorry, Malik Willis. Let's say he's Jalen Hurts 2.0. You got a good team. If you can have a respectable defense.
You're not getting 10 wins. Even if Malik Willis is Jalen Hurts 2.0. Hopefully he's a better passer than Jalen Hurts.
I think he's better than Jalen Hurts.
Did he put the trolling aside for a second or the okay. over the top?
Accusation.
Honestly, uh-huh. The percentage of chances the Dolphins get to 10 wins.
All right, 10 wins. Be honest, 10 be wins. Honest. Dolphins getting 10 wins. The percentage chance. Really, really, really. I'm going to give it 55.
We're going to get out of here. Let's go check out Omar Kelly on the Miami Herald, Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI.
Was that like, too much or something for y'all?
TD Fins Talk, YouTube.com.
I was being very conservative.
You're being
wow, y'all are so disrespectful. YouTube.com/ugly
wrong. We appreciate you. Go check out TD. He and it's fun. He truly believes this, and I'm not knocking him for it.
He ain't faking it either.
No,
like, y'all are tripping for real. Y'all think we gonna be that bad?
Not that bad, but I don't. There's, I don't. I'm not at 50 something percent. We're getting at 10 wins. No,
an unproven quarterback is gonna get him 10 wins, but Tua was gonna win him 5.
He ain't unproven.
We're getting out of here. Tua's brought up again. We'll see you later. Have a good weekend.